to conclude our thoughts from this morning on the Christian and being grateful, being thankful for all that we have. Now, this morning's lesson, we discussed two major points, as we will again this evening. This morning, we talked about, are we of the nine, are we the one? And that, of course, comes from the story where 10 lepers came to Jesus asking for his mercy, and he told them to go their way to the priests, show themselves to the priests. And as they were on their way, they noticed that they were healed, and only one returned. Only one was really grateful. And the interesting thing about that story is that they did not immediately have this cleansing in the presence of Jesus. They had enough faith to go right on as Jesus told them to do. And then, of course, another interesting part about this, the one who came back and was thankful was the Samaritan. We talked about what gratitude does for us and the benefits, and that's where we're spending an awful lot of our time this morning, the benefits of being grateful, the benefits of being a thankful people. We talked about one of the ways that we can allow our lights to shine in this world, as we're instructed to do, is by allowing ourselves to kind of cultivate what I refer to sometimes as the attitude of gratitude. We talked about how easy it is to, we live in a world with so much around us, so much stress, so much pressure, all that kind of thing. It's easy sometimes to get down. We look at the world and the mess and the chaos that it's in right now, and it's easy to get down. But as Christians of all people, we need to be a really grateful people. A lot of people nowadays have a mindset that says, well, something's owed to me. They're not really thankful for it. You know, it's been said, and we talked about this morning as well, that the simplest commandments sometimes seem to be the hardest ones to obey, and one of those is to be grateful. One of those simple commandments is instructed for us to be a thankful people. We talked about a number of passages, a number of verses here, Colossians 3, 15 and 17, where Paul would write there, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body. Now listen, and be thankful. Be grateful for that. But be grateful that the body of Christ, we have been called into that one body of Christ. And then, of course, two verses later, Paul in Colossians 3:17 said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We talk about Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Even when we are petitioning God for things that we need in our life, we need to remember to include our attitude of thankfulness. We need to be thankful for what God does us. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, we talked about, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. It's God's will that we be a thankful people. What we want to talk about tonight, first point, is ways in which we can show our gratitude. We've already talked about what does gratitude do for us, how do we benefit by being a thankful people, but here are some ways that we can show our gratitude. Number one, let's be a people who count our blessings. We sing that song, don't we, so often, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Well, folks, we can show our attitude of thankfulness, we can show our gratitude to God by enumerating, listing those blessings. You know, sometimes, like I say, we do live in a world where there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of reason sometimes for us to look at the world around about us and kind of get down about it. It's pretty easy to do. There's not a whole lot of peace in the world. There's not a whole lot of conformity where people are one country's trying to work with another country. And instead, we find it just the opposite. Everything is about me, me, me. And that's the mindset of the world today. But folks, anytime you feel like the stress and the pressures and all the things around you in the world begin to overwhelm you, stop and think about this. And it's a simple thing. Take a simple piece of notebook paper, lined notebook paper, and right down the center, draw a line. Make two separate columns. Begin to list all of your troubles and all the things that you see are keeping you from being happy on the left side of that column. And when you've exhausted that, go to the right column and begin to think about all the blessings in your life and begin to write those down on the right-hand side. It has been shown that the majority of people will run out of troubles and things that they say keep them from being a happy person long before the column that is right is finished. And you stop and think about, there's probably a good reason for that. If you stop and think about the trials and tests and troubles in life that keep us from being happy sometimes, aren't most of those things very temporary? Aren't most of those things that kind of get us down and get us depressed and we're not as excited and thankful as we ought to be? Those things are very short-lived as a rule. Your blessings, on the other hand, seem to be those types of things that go on and on and on. I mean, your family members. Now stop and think about this. Even when we lose a family member to death, do we quit thinking about them? Do we quit loving them? Do we quit, do we just automatically forget the blessings and the life that we had? And, you know, your parents or something like that? We don't just quit, do we? We continue to think about them, but what about the immediate things? Most of our blessings in life are things that are there on a regular day-to-day basis. So count your blessings. Number two, remember whose child you are. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about our physical, carnal family. We're not talking about that at all. I'm not talking about Ed thinking about Mr. and Mrs. Marr. I don't know their first name, what their first names were. I'm not talking about him thinking about them, and he's not thinking about, well, I'm a child of I don't know, what's your dad's first name? Fred, John? Doesn't matter. Paul, okay, I'm a son of Paul. Okay. But we're talking about something that goes beyond just that physical family lineage. We're talking about that spiritual child that we are. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 and 2, John wrote these words, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." He goes on and says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." And that's in 1 John 3, 1 through 2. And you stop and think, if that's the only thing we had, but it is far from the only thing that we have. One of my favorite all times, and I'll tell you, Romans is just loaded with stuff, and a lot of stuff I have to really bend my mind to fully comprehend, and I hope I am fully comprehending the book of Romans, because it's a challenging book sometimes. But one of the things that is not challenging, and maybe that's why I like it so much, is because my mind can get wrapped around it, is Romans chapter 8, 14 through 17. It tells us there that if we, quote, are led by the Spirit of God, then we are the sons of God. It goes on and says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. Folks, that is filled with so much to give us reason to be grateful, so much for us to be thankful for. If we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, of course we understand what that means. It means that we're allowing God's Word to speak to us through His inspired Word. God is speaking to us through the Bible, and we're allowing that to lead us in our life. He says, if we are led by the Spirit, then we are the children of God. And it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And notice he says, if we are children of God, then we're heirs of God, and we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Boy, now there's a family tie, isn't it? there's that idea that we can be thankful that we are the children of God, that we are, it's not just about this physical realm that we live in. We can be thankful for that, obviously. But our real rejoicing ought to come in the fact that we have a spiritual kinship with our Heavenly Father. Let's remember that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for us. Jesus gave up the glories of heaven, and in so doing, He became the most precious, if you will, sacrifice available to mankind. The most, in fact, the most precious one that even imaginable to this finite mind. Number three, take one day at a time. Now, I know sometimes that that's not always the easiest thing in the world. I get that. I really do. We'll talk about some of that here in just a moment. But folks, we need to be thankful for the day that we have and not be consumed, at least, overly concerned, let's put it that way, about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Because you see, that's the whole key. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Our greatest worries about tomorrow, what really gets us down and what gets our, what's that old expression, get your dobber down, is what happened, tomorrow, this might just happen. Well, we're borrowing trouble. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6, didn't he? He says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about its own things. In fact, he says, sufficient for the day is its own troubles. The idea is, don't look at tomorrow and try to grab some imaginary problems and trials and tests and troubles and bring them over to today. First place, if you try to do something like that and it's not going to happen until tomorrow, you can't fix it today anyway. You know, it's really been well said that when you borrow trouble from tomorrow, you're going to pay a high interest rate because it's not going to do you any good. Folks, we may not know what tomorrow holds, and that's just a reality. We have an idea. Most of us think that tomorrow morning we're going to get up and we're going to kind of carry on our normal routine. And we probably will. For all, but you don't know what really is going to happen. You may start out with the worst day you could possibly imagine. By the end of the day, it may be great. You may think that you're going to work tomorrow or get in your normal routine for tomorrow if you don't go to work. And the whole day is exactly like you thought it would be on a normal day. But if we borrow trouble, thought about what may happen, it's going to end up ruining that day. And as we pointed out just a moment ago, it's hard not to worry about the future to a certain degree. I understand that. We really look at what we have to do, and we look at things, and we try to plan within reason for the future. We try to have at least a semblance, if we can, of some sort of retirement concept or plan. We try to look down the line a little bit, but the problem with that is it really does not make a whole lot of sense because, you see, in reality, neither you nor I are going to control what happens tomorrow. The reality is, folks, we may not know what waits us tomorrow, but we do know the one who holds tomorrow in his hands. And that's God. Number four in this list, we can show our gratitude by what we give. And that's not necessarily just the concept of dollars and cents, the contribution every first day of the week. It includes that, but there are other things involved. Paul reminded us of this. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We see that in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Nowhere else in the Bible, nowhere else in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, do we have Jesus actually recorded words saying that. But by inspiration, Paul knew that Jesus had said it. That tells you something about the magnitude, if you will, of 3 years of the life of Jesus cannot fit in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we learn that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We show our gratitude by giving. Jesus told his disciples, "Give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And this again, it's not necessarily the concept of dollars and cents. We give in other ways. It's been well said that to serve is to give and to give is to serve. And that's true. If we really want to give, we need to serve. If we really want to serve, we need to learn how to give. John chapter 13, we can read there where the Lord took a towel and he girded himself in the presence of his disciples and he began to wash their feet. And in verse 15, Jesus says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." What was he talking about? Service. That is not a commandment for us to go around today washing each other's feet. It served a particular purpose back then. What he wants to do is teach his disciples the idea of service. We see that in verse 16. Because Jesus continued by saying, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than him who sent." He's teaching them about servitude. And then number five, 4 points, final thought. Be grateful for what we have. Have you ever known anybody, and I think we probably all have at some point in time, who seems to never really be thankful for what they have? It's almost like it's not part of their mental makeup to be thankful. I have two illustrations. One of them is really kind of pertinent as we're getting up into, heading into November and of course, Thanksgiving. Family table. And there's a feast on the table. And the dad was doing nothing but complaining about this, complaining about that. And the food wasn't right. The room temperature wasn't right. Cost of the meal that was way out of line. Everything you could think about. Just wasn't happy about anything. But he has this little girl, this little daughter, who is sitting there. And she says, "Well, Dad, isn't there anything that you can be thankful for? He thought for a moment, and kind of a terse voice, he said, "No." And the little girl looked around, and she says, "Well, you could be thankful that you're not the turkey." You know, you stop and think about that for a moment. You really could be thankful for something, can't you? We've all run into that. Just this past week, I was reading a story on Facebook as an interview of Scott Hamilton. Now, some of y'all remember who Scott Hamilton was or is. Scott Hamilton was a male figure skater. He went to several of the Olympics, very successful. He went on to a professional career in skating. He runs several places where they teach and train skaters. And I think it was back in 1997, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. They were able to go in, and even though it was cancerous, they were able to go in and get it done and take care of it. Well, about 6 years later, it came back. And I'm talking about 6 years later from now. It came back. Which would put that, what? We're in 16, back 2010. 2009, 2010, it came back. They went in and were able to take care of it again. Guess what? He was just diagnosed with brain cancer again. He and his wife have 4 children. 2 adopted and 2 biological. And he tells the story in this interview where his 12-year-old, that's his oldest biological child, comes up and point blank asks, "Dad, do you have cancer again?" You know what his response was? Yeah. It's his attitude about what he has. His attitude, if you listen to this thing, was just totally amazing. And how he approached life. And how thankful he is for what he does have. And even if the idea is, even if things don't go well, he even made mention of the fact that when he found out this time that it was back, as he refers to it as an encore, he says the first thing that his wife did was take his hands and they prayed. He says, "I felt better immediately." His attitude is no matter what happens, he could be thankful for what he has. Folks, we need to be grateful for what we have. Again, physical things. Look at the nation we live in, the freedoms that we have. You stop and think about it for just a moment. I don't think there's probably anyone who at some point in time, I know I've done it. Remember the old expression, throwing yourself a pity party? Okay, I don't think we use that too much anymore, but the idea is you know, I'm just going to be sad about everything. Everything's bad in my life, and everything's wrong in my life, and nothing's right anymore, and you throw yourself a pity party. And stop and think about it for a minute. What we have, if you have good health, if you have a roof over your head, if you have adequate amount to eat, if you have clothing on your back, you have at least an adequate income to get by, you have family members that love you, do you realize that you are as blessed as most people are, in fact, beyond what most people are in this world? The third world out there, most people do not really and truly have enough to eat every day for good health. They just get by. Many of them don't have adequate clothing. They don't just wear second hands, hand-me-downs. I knew how to do that as a kid because my brother was older. He was bigger. I had a cousin that was older and bigger. And about the time I was growing close to that, they were out of them, and I got to wear the hand-me-down. But you know, a lot of these people, they don't know what a hand-me-down is. They don't understand second. They wear thirds and fourths. Because that's all they have. Many of them don't have an adequate roof over their head, and when it rains on them inside. They don't have indoor plumbing. They don't know what that means. And on the list could go. If you have freedom, as we do, to come and worship God in spirit and in truth without the fear of persecution, you're richer than you realize you are. I'm richer than I stop and give thanks for on a regular basis, because nobody is coming into our auditorium and stopping what we're doing and dispersing us, or maybe in some cases taking you to prison even without a trial. That happens in some countries. And these are just physical things I'm talking about. What about the spiritual things that we have to be thankful for? How about a merciful, loving, gracious God that really does care about us? How about His constant presence, His provision, and His power? That all you have to do is think about it and look around the world, and we can be thankful for that. What about an avenue of prayer that we have? God hears the prayers of His children. We have an avenue to petition God in prayer. We have Christ and the church that He shed His blood for. He died for. We have that promise of an eternal home. The fact that Christ is coming again to receive us and take us on to our eternal home. Now, we could just go on all night long like this, couldn't we? We have so much to be thankful for. God provided both physical and spiritual blessings to Israel of old during their wilderness wanderings. And remember what the situation was? They couldn't do anything but complain about it. Murmur and complain. Well, we don't have this. It would have been better if we'd been back in Egypt. And look at this. Look at that. Where is this going to come from? As if somehow God had ever failed them. Folks, we need to not be conscious of what we don't have, that we forget what we really do have. We need to be a thankful people each and every day. I hope this two lessons has been real beneficial. I know it's been really beneficial to me as I worked on it, as I put it together and kind of piecemealed it from some other sermons and put this whole thing together. It's been beneficial to me to appreciate the fact that there I do have a lot in so many ways, and I need to be thankful for what I do have. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, you're ready to put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, we ask a simple question, why not tonight? Child of God, you need to come back. Or just need the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, if we can help, won't you come as we stand and sing this song?